Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I'm going to invoke a cattle auctioneer here once again. You tell me, you guys tell me, is the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center, is that still a thing? Is the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center still in Missoula? Do they still rally for peace? I know the peace sign, you know, that was there. Is the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center still in Missoula? Now, the reason I ask that question is because Donald Trump, like we talked about yesterday on the show, great conversation with Frank Mealy, former Daily Interlake editor here in Kalispell. He's got the Heartland Diary USA blog. But you know, we were talking about President Trump and some of the rifts within the conservative circles right now. Got some great emails in response to yesterday's conversation as well, by the way. But we were talking about how President Trump, much to even some of his conservative critics' dismay, who claim that Donald Trump is doing this to get us into a war or doing that to get us into a war, when in reality, no, the peace through strength that Donald Trump is exhibiting right now is getting us out of wars, is leading to peace. And I mentioned yesterday on the show here how basically President Trump has helped deliver a peace agreement every single month for the first 6 months that he's been in office as the president of the United States. And we were talking about this yesterday with Frank Mealy, and Frank Mealy was talking about how, you know, he really doesn't like the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene and Tucker Carlson and some others on the right, that they were attacking Trump for his decision to go into Iran and knock out their nuclear weapons program. And they claimed that he was violating his campaign promises to not get us involved in a foreign war. And then Frank made the point there. He said, look, nobody is above criticism. Even Donald Trump isn't above criticism. But they were wrong. Trump was right. And look at the peace that brought between Israel and Iran, when it looked like we were on the brink of a major war. And yet look at what his peace through strength accomplished there. And so it's funny that yesterday we had that conversation, and then today, what is big in the national news? What is all over the news? President Donald J. Trump on the plane in the air right now, headed to Alaska to sit down with Russian President Vladimir Putin to get yet another peace deal eventually across the finish line. So, again, is the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center in Missoula still up and running? And will they be holding a rally in celebration of the peace agreement after peace agreement after peace agreement that Donald J. Trump has delivered, not just for America, but for the world as well? By the way, one of those peace agreements, the Azerbaijan-Armenia peace deal, Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines was one of the key players on the ground with Team Trump as they helped to land that successful peace deal. So a good Montana-specific angle to that story. All right, quick break. We've got phone lines open for you. Open Lines Friday. Give us a call, 294-0970.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, yesterday we had a great time catching up with Frank Mealy from the Heartland Diary USA blog. He also writes a column for RealClearPolitics.com. You probably heard me mention it yesterday. We were testing out some new remote broadcast studio equipment, so working through some of the kinks yesterday. But the thing that we weren't able to play around with yesterday was our phone lines. So that was the challenge. We had a great conversation lined up. We had John Jackson with us. We had Frank Mealy. But we couldn't get to our phone lines. Today, I'm very excited to tell you that we are having some fun with the phone lines. So we'd love to hear from you. You heard me right. Open Lines Friday here on Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard all across Montana. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. A story that caught my eye earlier this morning here, this was actually a guest opinion column by Wyoming Senator Cynthia Lummis, and then also Congressman Doug LaMalfa. You know, we've talked a lot about the One Big Beautiful Bill and what it's done for Montana in particular, or the One Big Beautiful Bill at the national level. Well, what about the One Big Beautiful Bill, what it means for the West, for all of our Western states? Great write-up here. This is featured at the Daily Signal, thedailysignal.com, which is a product of the Heritage Foundation. Senator Lummis and Congressman LaMalfa write this: President Donald Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill Act delivers major victories to rural America and the West. As the chairman of the Congressional Western Caucus, featuring 95 U.S. representatives, and the chair of the Senate Western Caucus, featuring 29 senators west of the Mississippi, we understand that a stronger West means a stronger America. Over the last 4 years, the Biden administration waged war on the American West by locking up lands and waters rich in energy and mineral resources as a handout to radical environmentalists. President Joe Biden weakened local economies across rural America. And so then they talk about just some of the Western-specific items that were included in this One Big Beautiful Bill. And I won't read the whole column word for word, but let's just talk about domestic production of energy, unleashing American energy. First, the One Big Beautiful Bill expands both onshore and offshore oil and gas leasing and increases offshore drilling revenue sharing in the Gulf of America states, where we've got 5.77 billion barrels of oil and 7.15 trillion cubic feet of gas remain in reserve. There's also some big wins, they write, when it comes to land management and conservation efforts to combat the wildfire crisis. In 2024, almost 65,000 fires burned just under 9 million acres across the United States. As peak wildfire season continues this year, the One Big Beautiful Bill expands timber sales on public lands. And we all know, of course, the benefits of doing that very thing. The legislation also strengthens American agriculture, putting our farmers and ranchers first by shoring up the farm safety net. Across the West, predators such as the gray wolf have stalked livestock, leading to needless losses for ranchers until we get a delisting of the wolf. The One Big Beautiful Bill contains reimbursement programs for livestock lost to these attacks. It also boosts the Livestock Forage Disaster Assistance Program to aid farmers affected by grazing losses due to disasters such as wildfires or droughts, and increases biosecurity measures. And then, of course, they talk about, you know, some of the tax provisions in there, doing away with the death tax permanently. So many good things to talk about from a Western perspective alone. You know, but kind of back to this whole topic of Donald Trump being the president of peace, peace through strength, the peace agreements that he's delivering. But that's why I completely agree with what Frank Mealy said yesterday. You know, when Frank Mealy was basically pointing out why he is concerned that you have elements of, you know, the conservative movement that are so quick to criticize President Trump or to attack President Trump. And, the case involving Iran was a perfect example where they were criticizing his decision to take out the Iranian nuclear program and claiming that somehow that was going to get us into a war. No, that's what gets us out of a war. And that's what President Trump is doing once again here today by meeting with Vladimir Putin, is he is getting us out of wars and not into wars. I mean, even CNN is taking note. Even CNN is taking note. I mean, you know, when you talk about this D.C. crime situation and President Trump, you know, not tolerating the crime there either. Again, what you're going to see on the streets of D.C. is similar to what we saw in Tehran. Peace through strength.
Democrats have to get it around their heads that Americans are far more hawkish on crime than they think that they are. What are we talking about? Trump's net approval handling crime. Where was he last year? He was way underwater at minus 13 points views of term number one. But look where he is now. He's on the positive side of the ledger. He's on the positive side at plus 1 point. Americans view Trump far more favorably now on crime than they did a year ago. Donald Trump is like Air Jordan towering over Joe Biden when it comes to their handling of crime. Look, in 2024, look at where Biden's net approval was on crime. Way underwater there at minus 26 points. It was one of Biden's worst issues. Granted, pretty much every issue was one of Biden's worst issues. And again, look at where Donald Trump is. Way, way, way above Joe Biden. What is that? That's 27 points. So Americans vastly prefer Donald Trump's approach to crime than they did to Joe Biden. In 2023, Republicans were favored by 13 points. Look at where they were in May of this year.
All right. And then he basically compares Donald Trump to Air Jordan towering over.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, our producer, Caden, sent me a message during the break. He says, hey, I just had a hiccup with the phones on my end for a minute, and I missed a few callers, but the phone lines are up and running. So Caden just says, hey, sorry if he missed you, but call back right now, and we'll get you on the show. I know I got an email from Nancy and Roundup saying, hey, I can't get through the phone. Yeah, so Nancy, Caden just had a quick little hiccup, and they're back, and the phones are up and running. So give us a call, 406-294-0970. And, yeah, and Caden, you can go ahead and send me that next caller. I think we've got Chris in Manhattan on the phone lines that we'll get to here in just a second. So, you know, I opened up the show by saying, hey, the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center. Is the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center even still a thing? Are they still around? Do they even care about peace? Because, you know, when Joe Biden was, you know, getting the world into all these wars, I didn't hear squat from the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center. And now that Donald Trump is getting, you know, people out of these wars and helping to broker all these peace agreements, I'm not hearing squat from the Jeanette Rankin Peace Center. Tim and Savage, this is pretty funny. He sent us a message on the Montana Talks app, and Tim says this. He says, I pulled up the workers at the Rankin Peace Center. You know, you can pull up their bios and their information. Every one of them shares their pronouns, which says everything you need to know about their definition of peace. Are any of you guys like that as well? It's like, okay, you know, you get this LinkedIn connection. Somebody wants to be your, you know, your contact connection on a social media site like LinkedIn. And then you see the name, and then underneath they list their pronouns. They, them, she, her, he, him. It's like, oh, great. Here we go. Here we go. It's some left-wing wacko. This is somebody who's only here to cause problems and to complain about everything and to pretend to be a victim. And I think that tells you if they all have their pronouns in their bios, they're probably nothing but a bunch of woke left-wing activists who care less about peace and more about opposing Trump. That's just a suspicion. Of course, they're welcome to join us on the show if they want to tell us otherwise. Into the phone lines we go. We got Chris in Manhattan. Chris, thanks for the call. What's going on?
Hey, so I'm with the Volunteer Fire Department, and Saturday we are having our breakfast in conjunction with a potato fest.
That's great. Well, give us the details.
Okay, so we go from 6 to 10:45, and we have the bacon, sausage, hash browns, eggs, and pancakes. And it's a free will donation, and it's a good time. And then the firemen dance in the parade afterwards.
Are you going to be one of those dancing firemen in the parade?
Well, I'll see. Depends how the day goes.
Yeah. Well, I remember, I think you or another one of our listeners called in last year ahead of the event, and then afterwards called in. You guys ended up raising a lot of money for the fire department, too.
Yes. It's good. It goes to equipment. And it's a lot of fun to be here.
Yeah. Well, that's great. You got to have a little George Strait playing in the background. They call me the fireman, right?
Well, you know, you might have hit on the song that we're doing for the dance.
It sounds like you guys are having a party right now by the sound in the background.
Oh, they're cleaning up the fire hall, getting ready. We're setting up.
That's great. Oh, so you're at the fire hall right now. Well, that's awesome. Well, tell everybody there big thanks for all they do.
All right. I will do.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling in, Chris.
And maybe next year you could come broadcast from the breakfast.
Well, that's a great idea. Or even just show up and have breakfast. Yeah. We could do recorded audio, too, from that. So we don't even need to go live, although that would be fun.
That's a good idea also.
That'd be a ton of fun. It'd be great to see everybody there. Yeah. All right, Chris, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. If you got something you want to talk about or you want to jump in on the conversation here as well. You know, I was talking about, you know, our conversation yesterday, kind of following up from our conversation yesterday with Frank Mealy. And, you know, Frank Mealy was kind of, you know, saying how much he didn't like the fact that Marjorie Taylor Greene, Tucker Carlson, and some others have been attacking, you know, openly attacking President Trump with their disagreements about his approach to Iran, for example, or even in some instances, criticizing President Trump for the way he's approaching, you know, the war with Israel and the Hamas terrorists in the Gaza Strip. Anyway, after the show wrapped up, we got an email from Roger Koopman. In Bozeman, Roger Koopman, of course, a former Republican state legislator. Roger was also on the Public Service Commission as well. Anyway, Roger sent me this email right after the show wrapped up. He says this. He says, I appreciate Frank's good work, but he's wrong when he attacks honest, courageous truth seekers like Tucker Carlson and Ron Paul. Did he mention Ron Paul? I don't know if he mentioned Ron Paul yesterday or not, but I can't remember. Anyway, he says, Trump is an impetuous and imperfect human being, not a hero. We in the conservative movement need to be truth seekers, not hero worshipers, who are afraid to say when Trump gets it wrong. We will never succeed in our cause if we fear self-examination and lack the humility to admit when we are wrong. When Trump walks all over the Constitution to do something we like, we are saying the ends justify the means, just like the left. And that thinking is the pathway to tyranny. We need to advance ideas, not worship political personalities. Ideas, character, and truth lead to the promised land of liberty, not any politician. So, yeah, there's things I agree with and things that I disagree with what Roger said there. But Roger Koopman, thanks for the email. We got the phone lines open as well, 406-294-0970. My question back to Roger would be, well, what has Trump gotten wrong in your perspective? Well, what has he done to walk all over the Constitution? Now, I agree we shouldn't be worshiping any human beings, right, or any objects or idols, but you can have heroes walk the earth. It doesn't mean you worship them or you idolize them or whatever, but a lot of us military veterans, whenever we hear the term hero, we kind of shy away from it. It's like a bright spotlight was shined in your eyes, and you're kind of like, oh, whoa, 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 hey, I'm not a hero, right? You know, a lot of military veterans they just get really uncomfortable if somebody calls them a hero. But I guess, what is a hero? What is the definition of a hero? I think sometimes I mean, the easiest way to define a hero, if you ask me, is we look at the men and the women who sacrificed their lives for this country, who gave their lives. We can all agree they are heroes, right? But what is the definition of a hero? Now I'm going to just do a quick search on it to see what the definition of a hero is here. A person who is admired or idealized for courage, outstanding achievements, or noble qualities. None of us are perfect. Not Donald Trump, not me. Roger would agree he's not perfect. Every single one of our listeners would agree they're not perfect. And if you think you're perfect, well, you've just identified your own imperfection. Because pride is your imperfection. And the lack of humility is your imperfection if you think you're perfect. So if a person, if a hero is somebody who is simply admired or idealized for courage or outstanding achievements or noble qualities, I mean, I think we all have many heroes that we look up to and that we admire, kind of like the firefighters that we just heard from. We admire them for their courage, right? Just like the wildland firefighters that are fighting fires across the West right now. But again, back to this email, again, I would say, well, okay, what was Trump wrong about? My assumption is because the analogy that Frank Mealy was talking about is that Donald Trump, the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States of America, because he intervened and stopped the terrorists in Tehran from getting their hands on a nuclear weapon, that you don't think he should be able to do that, that you think he was wrong to be able to do that. And I guess the other thing, even though President Trump, if you ask me, did the exact right thing, and President Trump is a hero to so many Americans because he has the courage to do what so many politicians wouldn't do or refuse to do, because they would pander to the deep state, pander to the liberal media. And so President Trump can both be imperfect and be a hero at the same time, not just for his courage, but for his accomplishments. But I think the other thing, and I think this is what Frank Mealy was trying to say yesterday. The other thing that Frank Mealy was trying to say yesterday is that it's not, we're all going to disagree. None of us are going to agree on everything all the time. It's how you disagree that matters, right? I mean, case in point, look at the Montana legislature. I talked with a number of Republican lawmakers in the legislature who would openly say, look, our caucus is never going to vote the same way, the same time, every time. There's going to be disagreements, but it's how you disagree that matters. That's why the leadership votes, the votes on the rules, the undermining the party leadership caused so much friction and chaos, because we get it. Some people are going to vote for Medicaid expansion. Some people are going to vote against it. But when you vote with the other party to undermine your current leadership and you give them the power of the rules and everything, you've undermined your entire caucus. Nobody's ever going to agree on everything, but it's how you disagree that truly matters. Anyway, your thoughts, give us a call, 294-0970, back after this.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
The Trump administration issued a new Environmental Protection Agency guidance allowing farmers, truckers, and equipment operators to update diesel engine software to prevent sudden power and speed losses from diesel exhaust fluid systems or DEF systems. Starting with 2027 models, trucks must be designed to avoid severe slowdowns when DEF runs out or sensors fail. For existing vehicles, the new rules replace the current D-rate system, which can cut speeds to 5 miles per hour within hours of notice. A phased approach will be put into place. Since 2010, most diesel trucks and many tractors and construction machines have used selective catalytic reduction systems that inject DEF into exhaust to cut nitrous oxide emissions. The EPA says the change removes bureaucratic delays, addresses major disruptions in farming, trucking, and construction, and responds to widespread complaints that current DEF rules cause unnecessary downtime and economic losses. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins called the move a common sense fix that keeps producers in the field instead of the repair shop. Again, those are revisions to the diesel exhaust fluid or DEF systems for diesel vehicles and machines. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh man, that reminds me. I've got to get get registered for my property tax rebate and at least get a little bit back from these crazy old property taxes. Yeah, just got a message in here on the Montana Talks app from Carol in Billings. By the way, Caden, it looks like do we have a caller ready to get on the show here? I'm not seeing who. Actually, you know what? I'll bet my team's messaging is slowing down on me right now. We are, testing our remote broadcast equipment here this morning. Yeah, looks like we do have a caller on the phone line. All right, let's see. Okay, he is sending him down now. I see we've got Frank in Evergreen on the phone lines who wants to react to yesterday's show and our great conversation with Frank Mealy. Here in the Flathead. Frank in Evergreen, thanks for calling in. Yeah, what did you think about our chat with Frank Mealy?
Oh, I remember him back when he first started his job back about 84. Dan Black had retired. And
are you still there, Frank? Okay, Frank might have lost a little cell phone signal here. All right. Yeah, Frank, I'm not hearing you. So call back in. Okay. Not hearing Frank there. All right, Caden, if you can check back in with Frank. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. All right. I mentioned this is a good reminder that I need to fill out the information to apply for the property tax rebate that passed the legislative session here this past spring because, everybody, of course, is so frustrated with the property tax system here in Montana. Yeah, Carol in Billings sent us this message on the Montana Talks app. Carol says this, "Hi, Aaron. Am I the only one who is disappointed in Governor Gianforte? I listened to an interview with Governor Greg Abbott and heard about all the great things he is pushing forward in Texas. One thing that really caught my attention was that he is what he is doing to reform property taxes there. He is insisting that senior citizens are exempted from property taxes. He doesn't like homeowners in general being renters from the state even after their homes are paid for. Also, they are limiting local government spending. He had so many programs that would benefit Texans." Let's see. She then adds this. She then says, "You know, now we have to wait almost 2 years for more changes to be made. Maybe Governor Gianforte could call a special session and let our representatives know what needs to be done to make this state government less oppressive." Thanks for the message, Carol. Yeah, when it comes to property taxes, look, at the end of the day, even if the governor called a special session, I think we all know how that's going to work out. It's going to turn into the same thing that we saw during this legislative session. And, did we get some property tax relief? Yes, but there's fears that property taxes are going to go up in other areas as a result of residential property tax relief, right? Not just fears, but known increases in certain other areas, especially for second homeowners, et cetera. But I think the real thing that people weren't talking about in the legislative session in a big way is something that we, the people, need to be talking about, which I think goes back to your broader point here, Carol. And we don't need to wait for the governor to do this. We don't need to wait for the legislature to do that. We, the people, I truly believe there was an effort a couple years ago to get a ballot initiative on the election ballot to fundamentally change the way we do our property tax system. Right now, property taxes are based off of the value of your home, as everybody is seeing almost everywhere in Montana. Because of the influx of population, property values are skyrocketing. Your wages and your take-home pay and your retirement checks aren't rising necessarily, but you are paying more. Because the property taxes are based off of the value of your home. A change like that type of wide-scale reform is something that I don't think the legislature is ever going to agree on. So why would the governor call a special session to get them to make a fix that they will never agree to fix, right? That they I'll just say they will never be able to get that fix across the finish line, because they'll say, well, what if it affects this? What if it affects that? And then they'll get pushback from local and state government. It's something that we, the people, have got to deliver in order to make it happen. And so I hope there's a group that will get some sort of a ballot initiative going. And this time around, you know, work ahead of time with your ag groups, your industry groups, et cetera, to kind of get them on board, get them on the same page, so that while we deliver property tax reform that stops basing things off of the value of your home, that it also doesn't then have second and third order effects that trigger property tax hikes for ag and others, if you get what I'm saying there. Okay, I think we've got Frank in Evergreen back on the phone lines here. Frank, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I had you before, so yeah, carry on. You were talking about how you remember when Frank Mealy first showed up at the Daily Interlake.
Yeah, in 1984, he took over for Dan Black. And then in 2018, there was a Daily Interlake article on Mealy's retirement, and they said he was 63 years old. Now, if you do the math, that means he would have been born in 1955. But if you look it up on Wikipedia, he was born in 1948. There just happens to be another Frank Mealy. He was the editor of Skeptic magazine, went to the same university that he went to, Tulane in New Orleans. It's interesting that they both went to the same school. But And when he first started writing his editorials, he was talking about the days when he was wearing hippie beads and during the riots and everything. And he always wants to be within the flow. He knew when it was time to get out and stop being a liberal.
That's funny. It's funny because I was talking with him off air, because I didn't know this about Frank Mealy. We were talking off air, and he was saying he where did you say he went to? So he told me, I think, if I remember right, he went to the University of Montana and did their creative writing program, which is, you know, from in the creative writing world standpoint, is a, you know, very strong reputation program. They got some great writers that come through there. So, yeah, he joked about, you know, not being the most serious student, but boy, what a great writer did he turn into. And, you know, I mean, he became the source talking about illegal immigration and what needed to be done decades ago, and that's why he's such a big fan of Donald J. Trump today.
Well, I'd like to know his draft number, you know, if he's got two different birthdays, or, you know, just what it really was, you know.
Well, or don't trust everything you read on the internet, right? You know, you just can't trust everything that you read on the internet. All right, Frank, good to hear from you. 406-294-0970 is the number if you want to jump in on the conversation. Okay, what about seniors, Carol and Billings, in that message she sent us on the Montana Talks app, she was talking about how down in Texas, you know, they're working to, you know, not tax senior citizens on property taxes. You know, that would be interesting in Montana, because we have an aging population in Montana. But then again, what does that do to the young people that are trying to come up? We need more young people. We need more families in Montana. I mean, look at the declining birth rate. Look at the even though our population is surging all across Montana, which is leading to surging property taxes, surging property values, we're still losing kids in schools because our aging population, and a lot of the newcomers are more retirement age. That's why they're able to afford the higher priced homes, for example. And so, okay, that'd be great if we could give senior citizens a break, but what about young people who aren't even in a house yet, that not only need a break, but they need a home to raise kids, to be the future for our communities? But when it comes to seniors, I think that's another big benefit of the One Big Beautiful Bill, you know, and President Trump specifically talking about no longer taxing Social Security income. That one's huge.
Last month, I signed One Big Beautiful Bill and allowed no tax on Social Security for our great seniors, okay? So how's that? Not bad, right? No tax on Social Security for our seniors. And to protect our benefits, we've already kicked nearly 275,000 illegal aliens off of the Social Security system. These are people, many of them have already left the country, and yet we were sending them checks all the time. and 275,000, and that number is now even larger than that, frankly. It's an unbelievable job. And what that's doing is making the system strong. It's making it strong. Biden never kicked anybody off. Everybody joined. And we're carrying out historic deportations to remove many more illegals committing Social Security fraud. It's the Social Security fraud that was taking place at levels that nobody's ever seen.
Speaking of that point there, how many illegal aliens have now been booted off of the Social Security system? I'll tell you about that right after this break. Plus, phone lines are open for you.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Number right now, 406-294-0970. We should be able to get you on before we run out of time here on this Freedom Friday. But yeah, thanks to Carol in Billings for mentioning senior citizens in that message on our Montana Talks app. Let me see if we get some more messages coming in here in the meantime as well. Let's see. Robin Livingston says this: Aaron, the bottom line problem with property taxes is local elected officials who treat public finance budgets as if it's an ATM, and property taxes are a printing press to print unlimited money. We need city and county commissioners who manage public budgets as if it was their own personal budget. Great message there from Rob in Livingston. Thanks for sending us a message on the Montana Talks app. Just as we rolled into the break, you know, Carol was talking about, hey, Texas, and I know Florida's working to do away with their property tax system altogether. But Carol talked about, you know, exempting senior citizens from property taxes, and then that led into this conversation about how the One Big Beautiful Bill will makes it so that senior citizens will no longer be taxed on your Social Security benefits at the federal level. I'm hoping that will also apply at the state level now, since our state tax system is supposed to mirror the federal tax system. I'm hoping that that will apply across the board here as well. So the federal fix also fixed that one as well. But yeah, President Trump was talking about protecting Social Security, about eliminating the fraud in the Social Security system as well. I'm glad I reposted this earlier this morning from the White House. I shared this x.com/Aaron Flint. President Trump, on yesterday's 90th anniversary of the Social Security Act, is strengthening Social Security for all Americans. No tax on Social Security for seniors. 12.4 million names over 120 years old were removed from the database. And get this, they removed 275,000 illegal aliens from the system. 275,000 illegal aliens in the Social Security system. Speaking of illegal aliens, we've talked about the number of illegal aliens being deported by, you know, by ICE and by, you know, Customs and Border Protection agents, et cetera, that are rounding up these criminal illegal aliens and deporting them or prosecuting for additional crimes that they have committed here. What about of self-deportations? Is anybody keeping track of the people that are deporting themselves? This was very interesting. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem shares this via Rapid Response 47 on X.
We have 1.6 illegal immigrants that have left this country voluntarily. And I think these numbers just show exactly the genius of Donald J. Trump, the brilliant mind that he has, that when he was elected in November, he knew he had to make America safe again. And he said, Christie, if you're going to be my Homeland Security Secretary, we're going to follow the law. You're going to do commercials. You're going to tell the world that no longer will we tolerate people being in our country illegally and that they need to go home. And he messaged it strong. There were consequences if you broke the law and you were a criminal in this country and you needed to leave. And overwhelmingly, the world got the message. They're leaving on their own, which is the best thing for American citizens. Not only did 1.6 million people leave the United States that shouldn't be here, but also 2.5 million Americans became employed in the last 6-7 months. That's incredible growth for U.S. citizens that will benefit their families and the people who love this country, who were born here, who want to be employed, and now have new opportunities for success as well.
Yeah, 1.6 million illegal aliens have voluntarily self-deported. Yeah, that is a big news update there. On top of, you know, all of the illegal aliens that are resisting self-deportation and have been rounded up across the country right now as well. All right, let's wrap up this Freedom Friday on a lighter note. Greg Gutfeld, the king of late night. You guys probably heard that he was on, what, Jimmy Fallon's show? Was it Fallon? Fallon or Kimmel? One of those guys. I think he was on with Fallon. I think Fallon's the nicer guy. He was on with Jimmy Fallon and gave Jimmy Fallon the best ratings of the entire year. Well, Greg Gutfeld, the king of late night, his opening monologue last night on Fox News, he was talking about how Americans are moving to the right and they're having fun in the process.
So the culture is shifting, and you can feel it, can't you? It's like when Nirvana came around and suddenly I could book Motley Crue for my birthday party. For years, the left owned the culture. They told us what was funny and what was offensive. At any moment, you'd be canceled for outlandish opinions, like maybe that Miss America shouldn't be able to pee standing up. But then it happened, the flip. Together we told the woke left to stick their scolding where the sun don't shine. You know, Michael Moore's feet. And it's more than satisfying, it's liberating because America is fun again. For instance, Trump's planning a UFC fight at the White House. I hear, all right, white. I hear they're gonna make Nancy Pelosi the ring girl. Up the number of facelifts she had this week. Then there's the Kennedy Center honors where Trump honored Kiss and Sly Stallone. You know, if it were still Joe Biden, he would have picked his favorite band, the Visiting Angels.
Well, there you go, Greg Gutfeld. Hey, by the way, George Strait also got honored with Kennedy Center honors.
Bye.